Well, welcome to Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. That's our theme music from Joe Cocker, a track called Respect Yourself. And I'm host Sheldon Brown. And Mental Health Radio is brought to you and funded by Ember Wellbeing Trust and promotes mental healthiness. So today we're going to talk about some differences between being alone, being lonely, and the issue of solitude. And while being alone and feeling good, that's described as solitude, but being alone and feeling distress is described as loneliness. So loneliness is actually a state of mind. Harmful loneliness is defined by researchers as feeling lonely for a prolonged time, a feeling which causes people to feel empty, alone, and unwanted. Loneliness often is an issue when it becomes prolonged or chronic. It can be closely linked to depression and anxiety. So obviously there is a mental health aspect to this. So here to discuss loneliness is a trustee of a charitable trust called Loneliness in New Zealand. Her name is Kathy Comber. She's originally from South Africa a long time ago, and it's her first radio interview. So, Kathy, welcome to Take It From Us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So this trust, which is called Loneliness New Zealand, why have you established a charitable trust to address loneliness?
Yeah, loneliness is not a new issue. I mean, people have been feeling lonely forever. But how it relates to mental and physical health has been a research area in the last sort of decade, gaining more momentum. And so when I came to look at what was in New Zealand, that was in about March 2018, what there was for people who were lonely to go and how to get help, there wasn't anything. That there was a specific area for loneliness. And so we are the only charitable trust or loneliness organization that deals with population as a whole in New Zealand.
Right. So what's the trust's purpose and work?
Well, our tagline is Conquering Loneliness in New Zealand, and we're working in three different areas. The first is with the individuals. I'm doing some mentoring and counselling for people who come who are really lonely. Then I put this radio interview as the kind of upskilling area where teaching people about the loneliness issues. It's very complex. And so I do seminars or group work. And then the third area is trying to give New Zealand a focus on loneliness, and that's through influencing the government. So, for instance, doing submitting to the Mental Health and Addiction Inquiry was one of the areas that we influenced.
So what drove you to establish Loneliness New Zealand?
When I was looking to see about a charitable trust, what was happening in New Zealand, I started doing a lot of research into what loneliness, the wider issues of loneliness, and saw how much attention it was being given globally. And people were describing it, academics were describing it as a pandemic. And so when we looked at the context in New Zealand of the number of people that are lonely and the percentage of the population, the Stats New Zealand had already captured that information, and many of our already vulnerable people in our communities were experiencing loneliness. And so when you look at it, about 17% of our population in any four-week period could have fairly strong loneliness issues, so there's a need.
So that loneliness might take on lack of contact with people, no social connection, being on their own for long periods of time.
Yes, and perhaps later on we can talk about the difference between social, unless you want me to do it now, social isolation and loneliness.
Well, let's do that a little bit later on. You've also mentioned to me when we had a very pleasant coffee last week the issue of stigma surrounding loneliness. How does that hinder or undermine addressing loneliness?
Well, loneliness, as I said, is a It can be good for you because to feel lonely is the same as feeling hungry or feeling thirsty. It's just a signal in our bodies that there's a need, and it's a need for connection. But I can say to you, I'm feeling thirsty, let's go for a coffee. But I can't really say to you easily, I'm feeling lonely. So people feel like a failure. They have low self-esteem about that they can't get friends, that they're just not good enough in the world. And that's at an individual level. In a group level, people associate with positive aspects of groups. And so they often misinterpret how a lonely person interacts with them. And so people who are lonely in groups actually end up naturally getting pushed to the edges of the groups.
So because they may be shy, they've lost their confidence in making a connection with people.
And they often come across perhaps even more abrupt or more just that social ineptness, which comes from the loneliness. They could have been absolutely fantastic 2 years before, does actually affect how groups interact.
So it's a sort of a self-perpetuating issue, I suppose. If you're not practicing a connection with people and practicing how to get on with people and interact.
Yeah, it really does take a conscious effort to socially interact well, and a lot of people don't necessarily have that skill.
Yeah, and we talked, I think, last week about tips on fostering friendship, in fact, and having the ability to listen and to others and hopefully have people listen to us as well.
Yes, I think it's a reciprocal nature that's really important for loneliness, is that it's not you just giving of yourself all the time or taking from somebody else all the time. It is trying to find that balance in life.
So we've got to be compassionate about our interacting with people.
Yes, and consider how you come across yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So loneliness has grabbed the headlines in the last fortnight or so through a significant report by a researcher called Holly Walker, and it was funded by the Helen Clark Foundation and called Alone Together. It's a comprehensive picture of loneliness in New Zealand with some surprising findings, certainly at least to me. Before we go into that report, I just want to clarify that you didn't have a part in collating this report entitled Alone Together.
No, we have not yet met with Holly Walker. We had seen it, and we're meeting with her later this week.
So Holly Walker is the researcher who's put this together, and you're meeting her fairly soon?
Yep, we're Zooming.
You're assuming?
Zooming, because she's in Wellington.
You're Zooming. Oh, Zooming, of course. So, I'd like to emphasise, as the host of Take It From Us, that any views that Kathy expresses about loneliness and about the report Alone Together is not in any way linked to loneliness in New Zealand. Both Kathy and I are just readers of significant interest. Mine is born out of a personal interest that isolation and the feeling of isolation are often triggers for a deterioration in our mental health, and that can certainly happen to me at times. One of the findings of the Alone Together report is that young people aged between 15 and 24 are vulnerable and experiencing loneliness. Why do you think this is, Kathy?
Okay, this has actually become apparent right through the world, that it's that age group that is most affected by loneliness. Loneliness happens often in transition periods, and the young people, we put that 15 to 24, are transitioning between school, cities. They're leaving the safe haven of friendships they've had for a long time. They're leaving family units. Their expectations of the world haven't necessarily become as realistic as they could. They used to have find things a lot easier. People were helping them, and now how they interact with people and their expectations of what they're going to get needs to be adjusted. Loneliness and poverty, I think we might discuss that a little later as well. they've got less money, so sometimes that hampers their opportunities of what they can do as well.
You're talking about the students, the people between 15 and 24.
Yes.
So I guess they've maybe finished their school career, an apprenticeship or a university degree, and they may also be taking on their first job.
Yes.
They've changed cities, and this was exactly my experience with my first job and came to Auckland from Christchurch. Knew nobody up here. So, you know, it was a fairly challenging time. So that's really what you're referring to.
Yes, in fact, that's probably the first time I actually experienced genuine loneliness was when I went to university. I moved countries.
Right. So you came from South Africa to New Zealand?
I know, that was within Zimbabwe, Rhodesia and South Africa.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. So which way did you went from South Africa to
the
Rhodesia?
Other way. No, the other way.
Oh, the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. What were the circumstances there?
Most of the South Africans at the time moved to one of the universities in South Africa, and I just happened to go to one that was really far away, you know, more than a plane flight, so to speak.
Right.
So,
and did you know anybody in there?
No, and so what was interesting was I have to confess, I cried that night. It was the first time I've really cried. I've got a very close family unit, and I made my first two friends on the second day, and it was a gathering of people who were lost, and they became lifelong friends, so that is wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't know that they were lost when you made connection with them or contact?
It is that feeling that you know, if anybody's going to talk to you, you're going to take it up. And so I did. But, of course, not everybody can do that. Some people would just stay hibernating in their rooms.
Right. Well, hibernating in our rooms, isolating, is not good for our mental health. So, you know, my perception, in reading this report, I was really quite surprised that it was that age group between 15 and 24 that were vulnerable, because my perception is that older people in New Zealand are vulnerable to loneliness. I guess you've only got to go to some of the shopping malls and perceive that there are people that are just filling in their day by watching people go by and having a coffee or whatever. What does the report say about the elderly?
So this report it was expected, what they said, that the percentage of people in that age group, so we call seniors probably from the 65 plus, are less lonely than many of the population really coming up to that, because it goes from the young down in the rate of loneliness.
Oh, really?
And
so the rate of loneliness is highest among the 15 to 24-year-olds, and as you get older,
you cope better probably, and you're more resilient.
Right.
So also your expectations you adjust, but then it increases at the age of 75. And that is a time when I think mobility changes, you know, access to get around to other people and, you know, their own friends, people dying around you more. So it does increase. And the report is right. The overall health and physical and mental health issues in that age group are already quite high. And so any additional risk, with loneliness being a risk of mental and physical health, that added on to their already challenging health issues is obviously much more significant than for younger people.
Right, so we're talking about those over 75 who may lose mobility, may have a less ability to get around and socialise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a music break, take a break in talking with Kathy, and we're playing The Cause today, and I spotted a track on this CD called Leave Me Alone.
Come and rescue me.
hopeless.
This is Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. I'm host Sheldon Brown, and we are talking today to Kathy Comba, who is a trustee of a charitable trust called Loneliness New Zealand. I discovered it by doing a bit of research online with Mr. Google, and happened to find Loneliness New Zealand, and it coincided with this report that we've been talking about called Alone Together. This is a report produced by researcher Holly Walker and funded by the Helen Clark Foundation. And Kathy, while not involved in this report, is commenting about it in relation to loneliness and mental health. And I think you gave us a little bit of a suggestion, Kathy, that poverty, you mentioned students are often short of money, may be a bit poor, they're not able to spend on things that they want to spend on and go out and socialise. So poverty and low income can foster loneliness. So what's your view?
Yeah, so most people, jobs, their self-worth and their self-esteem are tied up in their jobs. So when you start losing a job, and you know that might not be for, you know, from something that's your fault, so to speak. I mean, COVID-19, we've experienced people losing jobs, but people do have a sense of shame, and the struggle to get another job just is debilitating. And so you've removed yourself from colleagues, you know, people that you would normally associate with. You've just lose that whole group of people straight away. The report actually talks of pervasive toxic stress. And while I've never used those words myself, I can understand what that means in terms of what stress you bring to a friendship, a family unit, that actually people struggle to interact with, interact when you're, you know, that stressed.
Yeah.
So that is really a challenge for yourself to get over that stress and for people to embrace. And so it exacerbates loneliness.
And I guess if you've got that pervasive toxic stress and you're on your own and isolated, how do you think that might be?
Yeah, so anger starts coming up with things like that, which is, you know, is one of the issues that loneliness has. So, and you know, this also, you know, when you've got poverty, you don't have the same ability to heat your homes. You don't have the ability to
entertain
people. And you and I met over a cup of coffee, and that wasn't a biggie for you and I, but for somebody who has got no job, the opportunities, transport costs, you know, movies, dinners. We live in a social world where these are the norms of the way we meet and, you know, sort of
connect,
have friendships
connect.
And
I guess foster community.
Yes.
So what other groups are identified in this Alone Together report that are vulnerable to loneliness?
So I think they probably have got some of the information from the Stats New Zealand information. So it's people who don't identify as heterosexual. The numbers are not great in New Zealand, but the proportion of people in that group who feel lonely is high. Disabled people. In the regional side, it's the people living in Northland, and that's probably related to poverty. Unemployed, Maori, those with a household income of less than $30,000, and single parents. So it's a wide range of our already vulnerable population.
Right. Do they say anything about people with experience of mental health in those stats?
The stats haven't been broken down as a mental health to my knowledge, but definitely there are issues with mental health and loneliness. Loneliness is both a cause of deteriorating to mental health issues, and mental health issues affect how you interact with people and therefore cause loneliness.
Right. So that's a bit of a two-edged sword, is it? Double-edged sword.
And that's part of the complexity of loneliness.
Right. So the report that we're talking about, Alone Together, outlines the impact COVID-19 and the lockdown had in terms of loneliness. Generally, how do you think Kiwis came through the lockdown, and are you aware of any rise in reports of loneliness?
I'm aware of the Alone Together report talked about an increase in loneliness, self-reported loneliness. So loneliness is a self-reported issue. It's a subjective feeling. Horizon Research also did research into, and they found the younger people as well.
So Horizon Research is another research company.
Yes.
They did this research during the lockdown.
During the, I think it was in that level four.
Right.
Yeah. And they put the income at $20,000 for that particular area of research.
If I can clarify that the $20,000 was...
People with low amounts of income in their household or personal money.
Right, from a maximum of $20,000.
Yes, that's the way that they did their research. They may not have been using the same parameters as Stats New Zealand, but it still is an indication that this is a poverty or a low income issue.
Right, and $20,000 really in New Zealand is a very, very small when you consider the average annual income, I think, is something like just over $50,000.
Yes. My own experience from sitting in where Loneliness New Zealand works from was that I did think the government did a fantastic job on the Connect Us Together campaign. And so some people, I found the lockdown was in effect an equalizer because those people who ordinarily couldn't go out, like we're talking about the seniors and the disabled people, they didn't have expectations that anybody would visit them. They knew nobody could. So loneliness is about expectations. And so the expectations were more realistic to a situation, as well as people having time to call. So people who ordinarily had full-time jobs, flat-out work, commuting, had more time. Yeah. So I did think, and people also preoccupied with how we rearranged our world into this new COVID-19 world. So I found that there were some people who had prolonged loneliness actually felt better. But in the end, it's very likely to still rise because expectations when we're back in our normal world will go back to the same of needing people, the connections,
right.
But we have more people with serious income issues.
Right. I guess the other thing is that with everybody locked down, those of us who might feel lonely at times were sort of thinking, well, everybody's locked down, so I'm not missing out on the things that other people normally do, go to the beach, you know, party and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's take another music break. We're playing The Cause today on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, and we've got a track here called Secret Life. Well, I'm host Sheldon Brown on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. No Declan today because we're pre-recording this the day before we will broadcast the show. We're talking about loneliness, speaking with a trustee of a charitable trust called Loneliness New Zealand, Kathy Comba. Kathy is commenting about a report which came out just recently called Alone Together. She's emphasising that she was not associated with the preparation of this report, but because she's involved in the area of loneliness and with this trust called Loneliness New Zealand, she felt confident to comment, and she's commenting very confidently as well. So the issue of technology, it's one that fascinates me. You know, it seems to me that we are being separated by technology. People almost look inaccessible because they've got their headphones on. They maybe have their phone in front of them. They're walking down the street. They're completely inaccessible. And we connect by text and messaging rather than picking up the phone or meeting face-to-face. In fact, I spoke to somebody who said that during lockdown, he made 120 calls to people.
Wow.
And he only got seven in return. So this does seem to be a bit of a feature these days, Kathy.
Yes, I mean, technology, I think we've got to be careful how we put it. We're using technology right now to get your message out to the world. So,
but at least we're doing it face-to-face. We can see each other. It's
yes,
not a Zoom
yes.
session.
And,
and we have some contact
yes,
and connection.
But taking advantage of what we can to facilitate the best we can is important. And I honestly believe it's not the technology itself. It's how we use it. And so over-reliance of technology where there is no face-to-face and there's no deepening of conversation or giving of yourself in a conversation, you do lose that meaningfulness. So, yes, it is really important. Misunderstandings happen through texts, and unless people pick up the phone, which is not face-to-face, but at least it's a conversation where you can go through and discuss what did you really mean. So I think this is the issue with the younger age group is not understanding how to overcome those miscommunications and dwelling on words that are said as to what does it mean, yeah, and attaching a lot of meaning to the absence of a call. And
right, or
not,
the absence
yes.
of a return text.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah, yes.
You know,
yes,
even
yes.
at my age, yeah, if somebody doesn't respond reasonably promptly, I'm worried that I've said something or I've upset
yes,
them or
yes,
whatever, which
yes.
which really sort of adds to our stress, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it does. And often it is a misunderstanding or just people are busy, and so the expectations goes right back to that concept of expectations of what you want people to do. Our instant gratification needs to be calmed down.
You're right. So having expectations of people is not healthy for us?
Oh, you can have expectations, but they need to be realistic. So, I mean, there's a difference waiting for a day for a phone call or a text when somebody's finished work, when it's late. People have more than one friend, the acknowledgement that there are others in people's lives, or people just have such hectic work lives that they might just want to have an evening of complete relaxation.
Right.
So, or they forgot. So
yeah,
it's about just being realistic. What are people like? Who are they? And then it's not a negative.
No. So
yeah,
so we need to be a bit patient about about technology generally,
oh,
I suppose.
And also give of yourself a little bit more than just do a how are you and that's it. Give of yourself. What's going on in your world?
Right.
It's reciprocal.
Yeah. So for those with access to technology, it was, of course, a benefit, wasn't it, during lockdown,
yes,
during COVID-19, because we all found out about this thing called Zoom.
Yes, I learned to play. I taught people how to play card games, real life cards.
Really?
On Zoom, yes. It was one of the things I did.
And what card game were you playing?
Nearly all games, Rummy, Scum is the one the young people play. So, right. Yeah, no, just I just created new rules for old games.
Right.
Using one pack of cards in your house, but chatting together.
Well, I was introduced to Virtual Bridge, which was an international online bridge forum, and that certainly filled in a few afternoons. So there was access to a myriad of technological resources, workshops, well-being sessions, and we have in fact been promoting on Take It From Us the Well-Being Sessions NZ, which are being promoted by Changing Minds. So these were all designed for support, weren't they?
And yes.
What do you think their success was?
Well, I think that it was successful, given the context that if we had not had that, we would have had very little communication amongst people. And any time you're upskilling yourself is beneficial. So I thought it was invaluable in lockdown. And in fact, Holly Walker, the report is about making sure there's internet access to everyone. So that report is definitely reflecting technology can be a good thing.
Right.
Again, I'm just re-emphasizing it's how we use it to continue having meaningfulness in our lives.
Yeah. I think one of the realities, unfortunately, is that quite a number of people with lived experience of mental health don't have computer access and may not have had access to Zoom. I have to admit that I don't have a camera or headphones, so I can access these sessions, but the only way I can chat is by typing in my observations, but at least I can participate.
Yes.
So
I'll make a recommendation you get some headphones.
Right, thank you. This report we are talking about with Kathy Comber today, the Alone Together report, says that loneliness presents a significant public health challenge in New Zealand. Why is that?
So this government has taken it on itself to make all its decision-making and its budget policies around well-being, which I think is fantastic. So when we looked into what well-being is in how New Zealanders reflect what good well-being is, social connections is one of the drivers. And so the not feeling lonely is the other side of social connection. So not feeling so socially connected is feeling lonely. And so the government is already focusing on a lot of these vulnerable groups, those that are experiencing loneliness, which we gave the list of the groups. And so unless they also address the social connectedness part, you're not actually addressing their whole well-being, because income and health are the other two aspects of strong drivers of well-being. So, all the time that you're not addressing some part that is actually highly relevant to well-being, you're increasing the burden on individuals, families, communities, and I'm a strong believer it ripples into our economy as well.
Right. I think the report did actually list some physical health issues. It can lead to higher blood pressure, heart disease. I'm unsure whether there were any others on the list.
I can't say I can remember the list, but it's certainly those are the types of issues.
Yeah.
So anything where high-level stress, anxiety comes in, and it affects physical health, they're the same symptoms.
Right. Well, let's take another music break. We're playing an extra track on Take It From Us today, and we're changing the artist, the singer. This is Gladys Knight and the Pips with a track called Midnight Train to Georgia.
He said he's going back to find
that's Gladys Knight and the Pips with Midnight Train to Georgia on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. We were just talking about some of the potential physical health problems, and I've just found a list. It says here that those who report consistent feelings of loneliness are more likely to experience cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, dementia, and hormonal imbalances. Studies have found clear links between self-reported loneliness and increased morbidity and mortality. That is shortened life expectancy. So for those reasons, the report says loneliness presents a significant public health challenge. So it's quite a big issue, Kathy.
Yes, it's serious. People anecdotally are equating it to 15 cigarettes a day. And we have taken smoking as a serious health concern, so why wouldn't we take loneliness?
Wow, that's I've never heard that before. So.
Yeah, that's the international research.
Right, 15 cigarettes, the same sort of harm. Yes. As from 15 cigarettes
so
a day.
So we are talking about prolonged loneliness. We're not talking about somebody who is just lonely, starting to stress about feeling lonely just today. It's when it's, if you're feeling lonely today, go and find some meaningful connections.
Right.
But it's if you don't do anything about it.
Right. So we've stressed that you had no participation in this report, but yeah, of course you're strongly an interested party because of your involvement with Loneliness New Zealand. Can you tell us what the report says about loneliness and mental health?
Yeah, so the impact of our lockdown won't be known for quite a long time, and that's because loneliness is about the prolonged issue, and things like poverty are, you know, you grow into whether you do or don't find a job. So that's the, you know, it's the length of time. But they are expecting, so the report is talking about expecting an increase of seeking help for other mental health illnesses linked to feeling lonely. So that's like depression, anxiety, post-traumatic syndrome. So those people will still come out with those.
Are we seeing any evidence yet in what some of the support organisations might be saying?
Yes, I have personally known more people are putting information about loneliness on their websites. Of course, we're doing a lot of work trying to get people to do that. So, yes, it's becoming more accepted that there is an issue here. And so it's from our perspective, terrible we had a lockdown, but great that it actually has highlighted something that was already an issue.
Right.
Yeah.
Has Loneliness New Zealand got its own website?
Yes, we've got, so that's the loneliness.org.nz. I would love you to visit.
Okay, so that's loneliness.org.nz. Right, well, you know, it's my perception that loneliness and isolation are not good bedfellows for mental health. In your research and experience with lonely people, what's your view there?
Yeah, I thought this might be a good time to talk about the difference between loneliness and social isolation, because the in the media it's often just conflated.
It's conflated?
As in people put it as the same thing.
Oh, right.
So while a lot of people who are lonely, it doesn't matter whether you call them lonely or social isolation, how you fix the problem is quite different. So social isolation, which is a lot of disability and seniors who can't get around, are probably more socially isolated than they are lonely. So the socially isolated means that they can't get enough companionship. So there's nothing, their mental health is not affected in any way. They just need more people to chat about. So it's not about meaningfulness in the same sense. Whereas loneliness, you could be surrounded by people. And when we think about the young age group, they have got plenty of people to interact with. They're at work. They could be in an apartment building where there are lots of people, or in a residence. But it's the quality of the relationship, the meaningfulness of those connections that are important. So a lot of the media talks about connecting people all the time, but really loneliness needs to address how well you are connecting when you have got people around you.
Well, one of the things that the report suggests in terms of solutions, I think, is it says create friendly streets and neighbourhoods and help communities do their magic.
Yes, they do. And I think that's fantastic. But the step further is, what do you do when you are together so that everybody feels inclusive and everybody's doing their part right. in contributing to that reciprocal meaningfulness?
Right. Well, that's, yes, it's a pretty complex issue, this loneliness, isn't it?
Very.
One of the other things that I found incredibly interesting was that the report confirms at least one country, that's the United Kingdom, has a minister for loneliness and has adopted a national loneliness strategy. Is that something that your trust is promoting as could be adopted in New Zealand?
Yes, that's we're not going to say categorically it needs to be a minister for loneliness or a minister for social connectedness, but we really do believe strongly that there needs to be a strong leadership at the government level. So we use the term ministerial lead.
Right.
So we just see a lot of advantages because when you look at the progress that the UK has made since they've got somebody in strong leadership, there's a lot more than in the 2 years that we've been here in New Zealand. So we do want very strong leadership at that government level.
So the government is putting this emphasis and focus on well-being. It has a major well-being budget. I think the expenditure in mental health and addictions is covered by that well-being budget. So are you quite buoyed up by those sort of developments?
Yes, and I just wanted to sort of remind people that social connectedness is a healthy issue. It's before you... Some people are lonely because of mental health issues or physical health issues, but we've got a whole lot of people who have no health issues and it becomes an issue from the loneliness.
Right.
So social connectedness in itself is how do we establish those connections before it becomes an issue.
Right, right. Well, let's just take a music break. We've got another track from Gladys Knight and the Pips called Best Thing That Ever Happened To Me.
Ooh, you'll be there.
That's Gladys Knight and the Pips with a track called The Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me. We're talking today to Kathy Comba, who is a trustee of Loneliness in New Zealand. And just give us your website again, please, Kathy.
So that's loneliness.org.nz.
Right.
Thanks.
So we've been talking about this report, which has been recently released, called Alone Together. I've already alluded to a couple of the recommendations of this report. I probably preempted you, what are some of the others?
Well, it's good to just give a quick summary. So we've talked about having enough money. So they want to look at having a guaranteed minimum income. The report talks about closing the digital divide. That's that access to internet.
All right, yes.
The community is doing their magic. They are looking for providing funds for community-led initiatives and boosting the funding for Whana Ora. And they want the friendly seat to neighbourhoods. And prioritising those that are already lonely by providing targeted interventions to alleviate loneliness amongst those already at risk. And they do want to invest in frontline mental health, boosting the funding in that area.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is $1.9 million over the next 4 years, I think, to be spent on mental health. So do you think that that's going to satisfy that particular recommendation of investing in frontline mental health?
I think it does depend on how it's used. And so I haven't investigated all that aspect to comment too deeply.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you looking for people to approach you for mentoring? You do some mentoring?
Yes, I am at the moment. At this stage, we're a small organisation, and because we're focusing on the government side, we haven't put a lot of energy into advertising or on the individual side, but it's really great when we do hear from people. So we are steadily going through building up our organisation, but it's early days.
Early days.
Yeah.
So at the moment, it wouldn't. You're not encouraging people to contact you for...
We are encouraging contact. It's good for us to understand what the issues are in New Zealand and where people are... looking for support for projects around loneliness.
Right.
So I've had a lot of people contact me, and you're one of the many, not just media, who are looking for help in how they develop their own projects.
Right.
Yes.
Well, Kathy, thank you very much, and congratulations on how well you've managed your first radio interview. It's just magnificent.
Thank you. You're very welcome here.
Good. Well, I mentioned the well-being workshops that are on Zoom. They're being promoted by Changing Minds. You can go to Wellbeing Sessions NZ to get involved in those. So this has been taken from us. It's a pre-record. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll sign off with Joe Cocker with Respect Yourself.
Countdown.